Welcome to But Why Though, the podcast, a roundtable conversation about all things pop culture with members of the But Why Though writing staff. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined this week by Jason.
Hello.
And Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
This week, we're going to be talking about celebrity culture, specifically in the United States, and kind of how it intersects with the realities of 21st century living. But before we get into that, let's talk about the news. Summer Games Fest was last week as of when this recording goes up. Is that right? The timeline's screwy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the news, at least as of today, is Jeff Keighley basically said, hey, you all need to temper your expectations for Summer Games Fest. It's going to be a light year. And I read that headline and I was like, that's a bummer. And then I was like, wait, no, I know exactly why it's going to be a light year. Do you guys want to take a stab at why it's probably going to be a light year?
I'm going to go with they gutted every single game company there is, and there's no one left to make games.
I mean, yeah, basically exactly that. Then, like, think about, if you're a regular listener, how many times our news segment has covered a studio closure or a studio being absorbed and then disbanded. This is a light year, but pretending that it's like a mystery or an unknown is pretty disingenuous, I feel like.
Yeah, and the closures for sure, but then also just like some companies, aka Sony, still really dead set on the exclusive part of their existence. So even like making changes to things like Helldivers and things like that to maintain some of that. I can imagine if you're at Summer Games Fest and you can just announce your own stuff somewhere else, you would much rather do that and get all the publicity there. And also, you know, of course, no one's around to make games, but you know.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like we're at this weird point where studios are saying like, oh, we're in the back half of this console's life, even though people couldn't buy the console for several years. And then we're already hitting like, this is a light year for games coming out. Like the only of the big three, the only one that I totally buy them saying we don't really have a lot is Nintendo. And that's because they absolutely have a new console coming. They've already said that they're announcing it before the end of their fiscal, which is in March. So for them to be like, we're not going to announce a lot, we're kind of saving things for the next one, that makes sense. Microsoft and Sony just not really announcing stuff. And then, like you said, Adrian, other people being like, I'm going to do this somewhere else. Like, I get it. But it's weird. I don't know. I feel like I miss E3 in a way. Like, it was fun to just get all of this news dropped on us at once. But I also get why E3 ended. And I feel like what we're evolving to is less fun than I had hoped it would be. I thought, you know, having everybody do regular updates throughout the year and having things to get excited about, but something about it just isn't landing the way that I thought it would.
Yeah, I mean, even like, you know, 7 years ago, Nintendo Direct once every 4 months was so exciting, and I haven't watched a Nintendo Direct in years because not only have they not had anything exciting to really share in a long time, but also when they do share it, it just doesn't feel as exciting of an event anymore when these videos drop, yeah, or when these streams happen.
Well, and there's also a part of me that I don't always have 45 minutes to 2 hours to sit down and watch video game announcements. And so I will go on Twitter or, you know, go on Reddit and find that thread that has individual links to every trailer, and I can just click on what I think is interesting. And that has become the easier way for me to ingest these events.
Right. It also feels like a lot of it is you've got a 45-minute stream and 30 minutes of it is announcing ports and indie games we already knew about. There's one big trailer that's 7 minutes long and you don't actually want to watch the whole thing anyway. And then you get like a teaser for something that's going to come out in 2037. And it's just
Metroid
not,
Prime 4.
That's just not like, just not engaging to watch as a video, but also
the magic is a little bit gone, I think.
Yeah,
in a weird way, and I don't know what that is.
And it just feels like that like spirit of competition is gone too, especially like if you don't have everybody there doing the thing. Like, what's like the point, mm-hmm, right? Like, if you don't have the best people there showcasing things, and then when you're closing down little studios that could showcase lots of really cool stuff, they're not even there to do that as well. So mm-hmm, there's just like that spirit. Because I mean, think about like E3 is like who won E3?
That was always a question.
Yeah, when's the last time we've had a conversation like that? Just because it's so all these companies seem so into themselves that they don't really care about the competition aspect of it, especially as the consoles, these next gen consoles, is quickly coming to an end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, man, I'm not ready for them to come to an end. I feel like it hasn't been long enough, but I also am one of those people who didn't go like hunt it down or build out a bot farm online to ensure that I get one. Like, I just waited until I could get one. And that means that I missed the first like 2 or 3 years of both consoles, which realistically also is fine because they don't have that many exclusives. Like, the performance boost is nice, but that's kind of it.
Right. I love my Series S because it's way faster than my Xbox One ever was, but there's mm-hmm. very few games that I play on it that I couldn't have still played on the Xbox One, and took until maybe yeah. 2 years
ago. As long as you were willing to wait for it to load.
Right, exactly. Which is a big difference. The other thing to me with all of these, I don't even know what the heck a Summer Game Fest is. Like, I'm just like so out of paying attention to this stuff because the industry is so dismal right now that I get, it's hard to find joy in being excited about the future of games when the only people making them mm-hmm. are mega corporations who ultimately deliver half-baked products and will find some way to disappoint you as a company, even if the games are good here and there. And like, it just with
even
with
if you
constant,
have Helldivers 2 and then
yeah, and just like with the constant barrage of terrible news,
there's just always we say it every week, every time I'm on here, but the corporations are always going to win in the end. You know, they're going to find a way to kill that fun for that money. Yeah, I think the only thing for Summer Games Fest that I'm excited about for our site to cover is definitely Star Wars Outlaw. I'm super excited to see what Kate's able to get her hands on when she's out there. So if there's one bright light for me for Summer Game Fest, it's definitely that. Because at least they're there.
And remind me which one that is.
So Star Wars Outlaws is like the new game that's going to be placing players in the shoes of like a scoundrel type character and not, you know, a Jedi or anything like that. So pretty big. It comes with its own okay. thing of discourse, but definitely going to be more like underbelly, dealing with the Hutts and things like that.
Is this the Ubisoft one or is that a different one?
This is the Ubisoft one.
Yeah.
Oh, I was confusing it with Star Wars Hunters, which I think is that the
yeah,
Switch
that, I think,
exclusive
yeah, I think
one?
That one just came out the day we're recording this. So that one is lesser known. The big one is Outlaws. That'll be like the next, you know, Fallen Order Survivor type mm-hmm. type game that comes out. And
all right.
And we've talked to a few of them. You know, I think Kate's done some hands-on with it. So it seems fun. I'm mm-hmm. excited for it. And that's the only really game that I know that's going to be talked about at Summer Game Fest that I have my eye on. Everything else I imagine we'll get whenever these companies decide to give it to us.
Yeah,
that sounds about right.
Kind of just trying to think about 2024 as like a little bit of a sabbatical from entertainment industries almost, because it's mm-hmm. not just the games, like the movie industry's pretty bad this year too. Like I there are things to enjoy in theaters or in streaming, but it is like, I think we've talked about this in previous weeks, this is literally like the mm-hmm. the fewest theatrical wide releases of any years in 30 years or whatever. The box office yeah. Memorial Day weekend was like the worst box office since 1990 something. Like the quality of the movies.
Well, it was what, like Garfield and Furiosa?
Yeah. Both
was
movies
that, that
like
was that Memorial
10 years
Day
ago,
weekend?
10 years ago, Garfield would have made $1 billion and Furiosa would have made $600 million. But that was 10 years ago. This is not a box office conversation necessarily, but like it, the quantity and the quality of what's going mm-hmm. on in movies is also a problem because, you know, rut-row, there was a strike that was caused by corporate greed. And so now we have a really bad year of movies. And
I went to the theater over the weekend. And there was, so one, they're doing like the Spider Mondays or whatever, where yeah. they're showing a new Spider-Man for, and it's like, wonder why you're filling theaters with that. And then right next to it was another like, oh, see it in theaters. And it was like Wizard of Oz, Mean Girls, like just all these random, like, quote, old movies that they're putting back in theaters. And it's like this, clearly these are filler. This is that you have too many screens and not enough new pictures.
Yeah. They're doing a $5 run, Lola run this weekend at AMC. At least by me.
All right.
I'm like, maybe I'll go. I don't know.
Here's a question, and then I do want to get to the second part of the news. Is this also maybe fallout from an era where Disney was dropping movies and demanding like 70% of a theater's screens? And so did that kind of like hurt the way that movies go into theaters or how long they stay? Because it used to be like hyper competitive to get past a Disney movie and onto a screen.
Yeah, it's probably part of it. And like the fact that ticket prices have gone up, specific, not just because making movies costs a bloated amount, but also because fewer people are buying tickets. So in order to compensate for how much, you know, the box office needs to get to make its money back, they need to raise the price substantially or put everything into premium formats that cost more, etc. And so like there's been a bubble for probably the last 15 years as far as what box office success looked like, because fewer tickets were being sold, but they cost more to purchase. So you were making $1 billion a lot more easily. And I think now with a lot of companies, especially Disney, but many, most of the studios having quality issues because they won't pay people the amount of money they deserve to be paid to make good quality products, or they're, you know, Bob Iger and putting their studio notes in the way that like, people are just people lost interest in a lot of what they're putting out there. And I'd like to think that, like I described it as a sabbatical, I'd like to think that there will be some course correction, if not, you know, in 2025, by 2026, and not just in film, in many of these industries, entertainment, because the corporate overlords can't make money if no one's making products for them. They can't just AI themselves out of a making money hole. They gotta have somebody making something. So I remain a little bit hopeful, at least.
Definitely. So all that said about theaters, second item of discussion, Adrian. Okay, so this is news for Jason and I because it's not out yet. But Adrian, you got to see The Acolyte, or a little bit of it, right?
So by the time The Acolyte should be in its third episode that's out now, I don't know. Sam, I'm just super excited for it. I think that if I can explain it anyway, I wasn't alive for A New Hope. I wasn't old enough or had enough money to go see The Phantom Menace in theater. I can just remember like how I felt about the Star Wars fandom after that first time after seeing The Force Awakens, regardless of like any discourse that happened after that. I just remember like that sense of hope and excitement for kind of like the unknown in the Star Wars fandom. And that's what I get a lot of at the end of, especially the end of the fourth episode of The Acolyte. It's canon shaking. Gotcha. It's dark. The cast itself comes from dark drama backgrounds. The composer is the composer from Get Out and all the other Key and Peele movies. So, like, nothing about this says that this is going to be typical Disney Star Wars. And from what I've seen, it definitely isn't. It's great, and I'm super excited to see where they go with it.
And it's like it's finally set in a different era and not about a Skywalker.
Yeah, so this is taking place about
To me is huge.
So you're taking place about 100 years before the events of The Phantom Menace and 132 years before A New Hope. So pretty far back. And this is at the end, or this is being advertised as the end of the High Republic era, which we've seen in comics and novels going all the way back to about 400 years before the events of the film. So this is kind of like that in between the High Republic era that we've seen in comics and the Skywalker era. So it's definitely a nice bridge in between the two. And we're starting to see kind of like the folly of the Jedi and some of them making the same mistakes and thinking that they're really just the masters of the Force more than anything. And like that is starting to come out and people aren't really happy about it. And that hopefully, you know, manifests itself in some pretty cool ways this season.
Nice. That sounds promising. I admittedly, I've kind of fallen off with Disney's Star Wars shows, but this one
is going to bring it back. Yeah, I think, and I talk about this a little bit in my review, but I think that this is really a great time to come back to Star Wars. I don't think that this is going to unify the fandom menace in any single way. They're going to hate this movie because this movie is diverse. And all of the things that they hate about Disney Star Wars, I think this has in it, but it also has some of like the most beautiful things that come with Ahsoka as a series and Andor as a series. So it really hits, I think, a lot of the key elements of Star Wars without giving too much of the plot away. So I think if you watch this and you're like, I don't really like it, then I question whether or not you like Star Wars in its core tenets, because I think a lot of that stuff is clearly here and visible. And I imagine a lot of people will have problems with it, but I think that comes from other places outside of just like valid criticisms of like what the writing will be. Cause I think it's written very well. The cast is great. They were hand selected by Leslie Headland. Like, it's a fan's cast. You know, she wanted X-23 with the lightsaber, and that's what she got, right? She wanted Trinity from the Matrix to be a Jedi Master, and that's what we have. So with Carrie Ann Moss. So we have people behind this who are really passionate about the series. And now that I've watched it, I'm kind of going back and looking at all the interviews, and like these people love this franchise, and it shows. And it's not all in the volume. There's lots of practical effects. The fighting is more martial arts fighting, like some kind of force food.
I heard about that.
Yeah, it's great. That's cool. I can talk all day about it. I'm sure by this point there'll be a YouTube video of me and Kate talking about it. So go check that out for sure.
All right, you heard it here first. All right, so news out of the way, let's get on to the main event here, celebrities. And this idea for an episode came to me because I went to Target and I was walking past toiletries and I see this big end cap with Dwayne Johnson's face on it advertising skincare products. And like, that was just like one place too many for me to see him. Like, I saw that and was like, I'm kind of done. I'm kind of checked out. And so my initial idea was, I was like, hey guys, what if we talk about like saturation point? Like when celebrities are too many places and you're like, I'm actually done. Like the other example I think I threw out was Lin-Manuel Miranda, who everybody like pretty universally loved during Hamilton. And then he did a Disney movie and a Disney movie and was at the wet. And like, it was just all these different things he was doing and people kind of turned on that. But then Jason, you had the better idea that we should broaden it to like, just what celebrity culture has become in America in the 21st century. And I think that's definitely the better idea. So with that being said, I'm going to start us off with some softball questions. One, do you keep up with any specific celebrities? And two, how do you define celebrity?
Do I keep up with any specific celebrities? Every once in a while, I'll Google to make sure that Zendaya and Tom Holland are still together.
Okay.
That's a great one, man. I can't be mad at that.
Like probably once every 6 months just to make sure. I'm not keeping up with any Kardashians. I'm not watching Bravo. But I think maybe it'll come to me as we're talking about it, because I feel like there surely must be some realm of celebrity that I'm attuned to.
Yeah. I feel like there's also two ways to keep up with a celebrity. There's the I follow the gossip magazine stuff about them, and then there's the I follow what creative projects they're working on, like who they're recording with, what script they're developing, that kind of thing. And I find that I myself usually fall on that second one, where I'm just like following like an actor or a musician on social media, and I see what projects they've got in the pipe, and I'm like, cool, I'm excited. But like, everything else I know about celebrities, I know against my will, because it's just like the algorithm feeding it to me and other people engaging and retweeting it and me scrolling past it.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I kind of might fall kind of in that bucket. I don't think I follow the drama, but or like celebrity gossip, but if it pops up on my feed, I'll definitely, you know, give it a watch. I think the biggest one that I can think of right now is the Kanye West, Kim Kardashian Northwest's daughter performing in the 30th anniversary production of The Lion King and it being awful. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I saw a clip of that.
Yeah. And if you want to talk about
that, I know against my will.
And I think if you want to talk about like the problem that we have with U.S. celebrity here is encapsulated by like that event of the fact that this, that they can flex their star power to circumvent a 30th anniversary of like one of like the longest standing productions ever just because of who they are, and beat out kids who should have been in that role. The costume was also terrible, clearly did not belong there. And one of the crazier things is I was watching one of the zebras who's on stage who pulled her away. Had made a TikTok about she's the one who pulled her away from that. And then I don't know what happened in between her posting that video and her posting, because she made it seem like she was going to open up the tea on the situation. And then she came back with like the most praising video ever, saying that Northwest worked so hard in that thing, and that she came to multiple practices and she had it down, and it was so inspiring to watch. So I don't know if some muscle got applied there, but I think, again, speaks to like,
feels like
celebrity
it.
In the U.S. and how people can just get away with stuff like that, I think is pretty crazy.
I had seen that she was in it. I guess I'd missed the part that it was an anniversary production, which, like you said, there are other people who probably were significantly more deserving.
Yeah, I mean, like Jennifer Hudson was there. They paid like $3,000 per ticket or something like that to perform there. Like, this wasn't just like a schoolyard play. Like, she interceded like 3 days, and like the last two auditions, she kind of went in there and kind of swooped up the role. So, yeah, I mean, that stuff to me, I think, deserves to, like, because if not, then they just keep doing it, right? You know, someone's got to, yeah. I'd rather be on the side that's like, hey, man, that's kind of messed up, than to just, like, ignore it, I think is hard for me personally, just because I like the drama piece of that. But stuff like that, man, like, that stuff is nuts.
Oh, I will say, yeah, when celebrity drama hits critical mass and is just spilling over into all sectors of the internet, I'll pay attention to that.
Yeah, because it's like you said, you know, the last thing I want when it comes to, like, The Lion King, with everything that goes on with The Lion King, especially with, like, the Mufasa, you know, thing that got announced and all the stuff that came with that, is to have the Kardashians ruin The Lion King, you know, to add more to, like, the discourse. It's a, like you said, for the skincare products for The Rock, like, I don't want to have to deal with that part of celebrity in, you know, a play that I've seen live and know how much effort and time and how beautiful that production can be, just to be kind of taken advantage of, you know, just because of celebrity.
Definitely.
Yeah, I guess the majority of quote unquote celebrity awareness that I consume is not by my own volition. A couple weeks ago, pretty hard to miss the whole Drake Kendrick shindig going on. Like, I sincerely could not care less about Drake. Never liked him. Never liked his music. Never liked anything about him. And I I'm not going out of my way to learn about what's going on with Drake. But now I feel like I know everything there is to know about this man, because everyone's talking about it. It's all over the internet. It's all over real life. Like, students at school are talking about it. Like,
oh yeah,
everyone. Those are the kind of things that they boil over and they become unavoidable, even if I'm not really interested in it. Or just like, there still feels like there's a certain echelon of celebrity that, like, every time Ben Affleck's out there making a, you know, silly little face to the paparazzi, we're all going to see it for the next 3 weeks. And, like, I'm not looking for Ben Affleck content. I don't think my algorithms are even bent towards giving it to me. But there is a certain class of celebrity that still will, I think, become common enough that I'm going to happen upon it casually, whether I'm looking for it or not.
Yeah, no, that definitely tracks. We should set that second question, probably should have been the first one, is how are we defining celebrity for this conversation? Because I feel obviously fame is involved. I would say usually somebody in a creative field, but, like, honestly, there are famous, you know, like, quote unquote celebrity, like, scientists and celebrity politicians who have, like, kind of made it their being a politician is the thing about them. Like, they're not, you know, and that's on, I feel like, a little bit on both sides of the fence. Like, people are just like, it's a celebrity status.
Right. I mean, it was a whole thing back in 2007, 2008 to call Barack Obama, like, the biggest celebrity on Twitter, because he was one of the highest follower accounts on Twitter at the time. And, you know, he does his whole, these are the books I read this year, and these are the songs I'm listening to. And, like, you know, that's pretty celebrity, like, if someone kind of thing, even when he was in politics, let alone now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's an interesting one. I hadn't thought about that, but that was a whole thing of, like, oh, he's on here doing these things, like, being casual, engaging with people, like, it is what it is, but, like, it did kind of, like, shift I guess, the perception a little bit, or of the perception of how it is acceptable to be in office, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think that a big part of like how I kind of see what is celebrity is like people who are creating taste, people who are the ones that they exist and they do the thing they do, and then and people respond to it, like whether they're creating what's fashionable, they're creating what's interesting, they're creating what people are paying attention to and talking about it and engaging with, as opposed to being the ones reacting to it.
Actually, you know, you raise a good point, because there, I feel like a lot of people, when they think celebrity, they're just like actor, musician, whatever. But I feel like there's a difference between being a famous artist and being a celebrity. And I feel like being a celebrity is like when you engage that fame to achieve some end, like when you engage that fame to like to be a tastemaker, like you were saying. And I hadn't thought about that, but that's actually, I feel like that's a good...
You can be famous and not be a celebrity.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good dichotomy.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say something, but I think that kind of changed my view. I was just going to say someone who is followed by a mass of people who enjoy the things that they are doing, you know. And for some things, that's like celebrity, like, you know, people you don't like, you know, politicians for one, like we kind of mentioned. You have Obama, but then you have like the other side of the spectrum with like MGT has... hella following and will probably be described as a celebrity to like her people who follow her and what she does, right? So I think it's like-minded individuals following a person adds to that celebrity, but they have to be doing something, like you said, Jason, creating, mm-hmm. doing something that a lot of people like for whatever reason.
Maybe part of it is that like inaccessibility, where like they're just so far and beyond normal humans that they're in a class of their own, and there are plenty of people who are famous and plenty of people who are successful and that people follow, but there's a level where you just feel that they're different, and they have, you know, they live in their own universe, and maybe that's a little bit part of it too.
The disconnect and dissociation from humanity is, I think, so is definitely at play at the upper levels of it. And not in like a complimentary way. It's like, oh no, you're like very, well, I guess depending on how the person engages it, but I think you're right that like your presence feels unattainable in a way, if that makes sense. Like the things that you do in your free time, the places you go, those are not things that I have access to. And which is why, you know, when you see Keanu Reeves at a Starbucks or whatever, people try to stop and take pictures with him, is because it's like, that's the unattainable presence that you've just stumbled across.
Right, and the celebrity of him is like there's a certain thing about Keanu Reeves that he is known for being in a league above most actors, like as an actor, as a person, as a success, and like there might be people out there that make the same amount in a movie that he does, but he's on a level where people are influenced by him, people are following him, people want to be like him.
Mm-hmm. Which and now on the flip side of that, I saw this morning that apparently Zachary Quinto was enough of a nightmare at brunch that this restaurant put him on blast on social media and said, "You're no longer welcome here," which I had not heard good or bad things about him. He was a totally neutral person in my mind. And then I saw that headline, again, against my will, because the internet just was like, I don't know, you like movies, look at this. And so, yeah, so then there's like that flip side of it, of like being an actor also adds all of these, I guess responsibilities of like, you know, understand that people know your name and maybe how you behave is going to be scrutinized. Like, we also notice when people who are not famous are terrible, but we don't know how to put them on blast. Which I guess with that, my question on that is, how do you guys feel about like that kind of news, that kind of like celebrity cycle of like, you know, who did what, you know, who got banned from where? Does that part matter to you at all? I mean, because it is indicative of, you know, kind of like who they are as a person, and that might influence whether or not you want to watch their stuff or support them.
Yeah, I think it 100% influences my ability to like continue to support them. If they do something that I don't like, right? Because I think it's the same thing. Like, I support them because they do stuff I like. And if they do stuff that I think is so egregious that I'm not going to like continue with their things, I'm fine to do that. I think that we're supremely lucky that I get to choose the fact that I get to like not
have Drake on my music playlist ever again, or if he comes up, I can just skip his music because of all other things that like he's come out and done. And I think it also just comes with like to the one, and I never really liked Drake anyway, so it's that's an easy cut from my life, you know, for the celebrity. I can live without Drake music, I'll be okay. And I haven't really put that much effort into Drake as like a celebrity. But there are other ones, dude, like when it comes out that they're like, you know, harassed a woman or something, I'm like, dude, like, stop breaking the law, man. Like, because you put so much effort and time into engaging with the media that in terms of like media pop culture that these people produce, and then for them to come out and do stuff that it's that egregious, it calls into question like your time and effort that you put into caring about the things that they did, whether in like a parasocial way or just for the fact that you're thinking about all the time and spent you've done supporting them and talking about them and sharing their things, mm-hmm. and then they do something silly. It makes you just not want to like one hear about anything. Like if someone pops up in the news, I immediately think it's bad now. And mm-hmm. additionally,
oh yeah, you see someone's name trending, yeah. and there's like that hesitation, yeah. like do did, I click yeah, on
what
this?
What did they do? What did they do this time? And that's just kind of like how it feels lately with celebrity. And I think that a lot of that just comes with like the internet not letting people get away with stuff in the way that they used to. But I'm happy people are getting called out. I just wish it wasn't mm-hmm. some of my favorites or my previous favorites. But, you know, again, with the privilege of being able to cut those stuff yeah. out, I can just not engage with those people. And
I've been wrestling with this for the last couple of days. I'm talking through my thoughts about it out loud right now, basically. Like, there's always been, like, gossip magazines, tabloids, mm-hmm. access to when celebrities, when famous people do embarrassing or bad things, and we find out about it when we may never have otherwise found out about it because if they weren't famous.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking about, like, Furiosa came out recently. We, you know, so people are talking about Mel Gibson, and, you know, if he just never got pulled over and wasn't recorded, you know, saying anti-Semitic things to a cop, maybe we never would have found out he was an anti-Semite.
Yeah.
And, like, this happened, what, 30 plus years ago? And so, like, long before social media, I'm sure there's countless examples of these kind of things that we can think about. But, like, over the last, especially 10, 15 years of social media, but increasingly, you know, from the 90s to the 2010s, like access to celebrity, access to famous people's every thought and every movement yeah. became even more accessible, not only because the technology from tabloids or from, you know, people on the outside was easier to access it, but they're all out there tweeting about it themselves or posting mm-hmm. on Instagram or whatever themselves. And so we like got used to how much access to their lives we were being given, like on yeah. a scale that we had never seen before until fairly recently, where we start to see like especially younger people who have seen all of these celebrities go through it, and they're just not giving us anything online anymore. And there's mm-hmm. I think a big dearth of access to celebrities or to famous people's inner lives or their every thought to the yeah. way that we were getting for so long. And now I'm like, what does that mean? What is,
like, it's almost like killing off the industry.
How does that impact the way that we, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you make a good point. I don't know like, how often I see a young celebrity in the news for something that they said. Like, it's not that it never happens, but when it's like, oh, so-and-so like, you know, yelled at a busboy or had this, you know, hot take in it. Like it's not that very often. I think that is kind of a generational change. And the flip side of that too is that this was like the internet was the biggest strengthening of the court of public opinion, because it wasn't just about us having access to celebrities, but it was about us having access to all of our collective stories. Like when stuff broke about Ellen DeGeneres being terrible, we suddenly had a bunch of people sharing stories about how terrible she is, and like next to nobody sharing good stories about their interactions with her. And it helped us like figure right. that one out.
And like everyone who works at Hollywood knew.
Oh yeah, I mean Hollywood knows its dirt for sure
about her, about anybody, and so like I'm sure if you go to any restaurant in Hollywood and ask a waiter about any celebrity, they'll tell you exactly what they're like. But like I don't think I know a single thing about the inner life of any young celebrity right now. You know, I have to Google whether Zendaya and Tom Holland are still together, because neither of them post, you know, neither of them are making public appearances. They're fairly infrequently caught by paparazzi for that matter. And like they have a very regimented schedule of this is when I make public appearances, this is when I speak, and this is what I say when I do, and I will not share any other information or thoughts otherwise. I do not know their opinions on anything. I don't know what they are like as people, and for I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't really know if I even if it needs to be a good thing or a bad thing, but it is decidedly different than, you know, only 10 years ago when I'm struggling to think of an example, but like when every celebrity was all over Twitter every day and you knew exactly what was going on
and what they thought about everything. And yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, is it's like, I don't know anything about Tom Holland, and like, that's, you know, good for him. Like I'm glad he has that privacy, but I'm also wondering now, are we eventually going to start getting more of those Mel Gibson moments where like people who went from like complete silence, you know, nothing about me, or very little about me, like when they have a slip up, is it going to be like 10 times bigger? Because now all we know about you is this thing that happened.
Yeah, imagine something like that came out with Keanu. We just praised him. All of us praised Keanu. And imagine something like that came out with him. It'd be devastating. Devastating for the culture. Absolutely.
Truly.
Devastating.
Yeah.
It would. I don't think it will, considering the stories there are.
I hope not. Yeah. That's what it comes with. We put them on such like a high pedestal. Not like a high pedestal, but just like we just expect them to be what we hear them to be, you know. And then when they're not, that definitely sucks. Yeah. And I think for the younger generation, Alex, to your point, I think you're right. But because of that, I think that they get picked on more for just like trivial things. I think more than older actors who get on blast for like actual bad things they did. So I think of most recently Charlie Bennett, who's playing in the Acolyte show. He played John Dingle Jr. He was on Russian Doll. But during the press tour, he misspoke and said Anakin instead of Luke blowing up the Death Star, and people like lost their mind about it. Absolutely lost their mind about
who
it.
Who cares?
And I was like, who cares, man? Who cares? Who cares? And like, that's the stuff that gets blown up for like these younger actors, because there's nothing else to talk about. And that might just come with like a hyper focused internet thing where, since they're not posting as much, what they said in an interview, we got to go run with that. That's, you know, this person knows nothing about Star Wars because they said this. It's awful.
Mm-hmm. Well, and okay, so the hyper focus for the internet thing, I see what you mean now that I hear the whole sentence, but where my brain went is like corners of the internet, that you get these like very passionate subsets. And so like, I guess, yeah, do you guys have any general thoughts on like, how, like what role has the internet played? Because I feel like corners of the internet has become like a very weird detail of celebrity. Like there are people that in my mind are famous that you guys might not have ever heard of. And so like, are they famous celebrities, or are they just people that I know? Or that I'm aware of. I don't know them personally.
Yeah, I think we're definitely in like a time of the micro celebrity, or the death of the monoculture. Like there's really, I first started thinking about this, especially in like terms of music and musical taste and music consumption. But I think it's true just across the board. We're like, because 30 years ago, 20 years ago, the only way to get music was to listen to the radio, go to a live show, wherever's near you, you know, pick up a new album somewhere. And so there was the only channels for consuming new music, finding new artists, finding new stuff is through prescribed channels that everyone has the same access to. Then you've got Spotify coming out, and then you've got TikTok coming along, and you've got algorithmized consumption. You've got the ability to just click a button and change to anything you want at any time.
Yep.
And
well, and I mean, even beyond that, you have Oh, I was going to say you have Bandcamp and SoundCloud. Like we were talking about before recording, you have people with, you know, GarageBand and a guitar and just like putting like music that would have never even been recorded and put to a put forward to a record label is now being recorded and distributed. And so like the whole definition
the other side of it.
Yeah,
anybody can make stuff and share it now too. Absolutely. And so like when I work in summer camps and do music and like I'm trying to like what's the songs that everyone knows where 15 years ago we all knew the same songs and we're all singing the same songs listening to the same music today that it, unless your name is Taylor Swift there's literally no monoculture music anymore because everyone either is getting you just find stuff online or you get it from whatever TikTok's feeding you and like you were saying you know there might be people who you think you're famous and who everyone must know because I listen to it and all my friends do. But like you go to the friend group next door and it's like, what? Who's that? Never heard of it. Mm-hmm. There's a genre called Midwest punk or whatever the heck.
Oh, Midwest emo. Yeah.
Midwest emo. Yeah.
Love Midwest emo. It's great.
I've never heard of that. Like, and that's the kind of music I did listen to back in, you know, 2013. Yeah. But you know, now they call it something different and they're and if you're not being fed it, you don't have no idea that it's going on.
Yeah. Well, and there was, when we were talking about this episode, you had a really good example and I don't want to steal it from you. So can you give that to us now?
Yeah. My big, shock with this in the last couple of days was I'm hanging out in a large group of musicians and we're like going around playing stuff on guitar together, singing, having a good time. And someone's like, yo, let's sing Champagne Supernova. Or sorry, not Champagne Supernova. That's Oasis.
Nobody knows Oasis.
That was monoculture. Yeah. No. Red Wine Supernova by Chappell Roan. And half the room's like, yeah, Chappell Roan, the greatest thing in pop music right now. And the other half of the room is literally like, who is that? And what is that song? And I'm like, there's people out there who don't know who Chappell Roan is. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Not only because like I've been a fan since 2021, thank you, and you know have been a Chappell Roan micro influencer for years, but like she's literally one of the if not the biggest thing in pop music this spring, in I guess certain corners and in particularly in queer spaces. But like half of the room had never even heard of her or her music.
Yeah,
and I'm just like. What like just different universes and this,
which I tested that
happens
theory.
All the time but this one shocked me.
I was hanging out with a straight friend and a gay friend and we were talking about whatever and I was like, oh yeah, I have this episode coming up, we're talking about celebrity culture, and I was like, and here's the example that I have of like how people don't know things, and I just said Chappell Roan and my gay friend went, oh yeah, and my straight friend went, who? And it was like, this is exactly it. And he, now, granted, when we played him a song, he was like, oh, okay, I know that song. I just didn't know who did it. But he still, like, did not have nearly the familiarity, like, just with the name right off the bat. And I think that kind of fracturing and that, like, the fact that the internet has both brought us together and allowed us to just, like, you know, cozy off into different corners and do our own things is really interesting. Cause like I had heard, I think maybe two or three of her songs. And so I was like, I'm just going to go sit down and listen to the album. And like, I agree with all your comments. Like this is one of the biggest things happening in pop music. Everything's spun on it, but I genuinely don't know how many of my friends even know who this is, which also draws into question, like, is that a celebrity? If, you know, if the straights don't know who this person is, like, you know, and it's only known to this one small subset, like what does that mean?
Adrian, what are your opinions on Chappell Roan?
I had to Google it.
Listen to it after this episode. Right. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it is great, but you know, I just again, like you said, like we've said, no one's thrown this at me until right now, but now that it's thrown at me, you know, through the power of the internet, you know, this might be a new artist for
right.
me. I think it's just
and like this has always been true,
and I think it's just like how much weight you put on to the things you care about, right? Like. This specific celebrity has tons of weight for you, Jason, and I don't even know this person exists. I had something similar to this happen to me, I think, a couple of days ago, too, where one of my friends was talking about, like, this VTuber and, like, dropped them by name, like, I should know who they are. And it's apparently, like, the biggest VTuber, like, on the planet, you know, does more views than, like, most Twitch streamers. Yeah. And I have no idea that this person even existed. But for my friend, this is, like, a big part of this person's life, watches their streams, is part of that community. So I think that's celebrity. That's super important to them and is in a status of, like, that unattainability of, you know, that we mentioned. So I think that stuff's there, even if not everybody knows about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that makes me think of, I remember for a long time, the term internet celebrity was used kind of in a derogatory way. Like, you're not a real celebrity, you're an internet celebrity. But in this conversation, I'm like, no, like, internet celebrities are real. It's a different flavor of celebrity. For sure. Don't think that the term has, like, no place, but it is different. Like, you know, it does have some merit of, like, there is, I'm in major blockbuster films and do all this other stuff. I'm a celebrity. And then there is, I would say a good example is, you know, and I've talked about this many times on But Why Though, the Dropout streaming service, full of, like, actors, performers, comedians who, like, to me, these are all famous people. They're all in Los Angeles. When I was at the theater over the weekend, I saw two of them in, like, trailers and commercials for things. Like, they're doing stuff, but, like, they're not really known. They're not names that are faces that you guys might recognize. But I feel like they're still definitely celebrities. And it's just, it's just a weird difference that I don't know I'd really given much thought to until right now of, like, what that means.
I feel like this is probably something that's also always been true, even before the internet. Like, I'm thinking about if you lived in the Pacific Northwest, if you lived in Seattle in the 90s and, you know, punk is just everything to everyone who listens to music in that area, right? Mm-hmm. Do people outside of the Pacific Northwest know who, like, these famous people were before, like, you know, obviously eventually, like, Nirvana's, you know, at the top of the charts and, you know, all these eventually, but not immediately, right? And maybe Chapel Roan will be topping the charts, you know, in a couple years too, and everyone will know who she is. I don't know.
I
wonder, because, like, she super famous because the internet makes you able to be more famous more broadly and faster, but, like, even her top song was not charting I don't think at all, unless I'm wrong, and I'll look this up and take it out if I'm wrong. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure that it wasn't. And the ability to easily find community around people who share interests, who share in the excitement of a, I guess, micro celebrity, is easier with the internet than when you played shows in one place and everyone in that one place knows about it. But if you go outside of that one place, you literally have no idea who that is.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something to be said about, like, local celebrity and, like, that power. I think, especially for me coming from El Paso, like, I have a special connection to Khalid that, like, I don't feel like other people who are from other places have, right? He's grew up in El Paso, down the street from me, so I understand, like, his background and things like that. So his music just resonates a little bit more with me. And while, like, he hasn't made anything, you know, crazy, I would go see him at concert before, you know, I'd go see, like, Taylor Swift in concert. I think that he's a bigger celebrity, at least, like, in terms of, like, how much effort and emotion and things that I put into that. So I think that local stuff is definitely super, super valid for sure. And you just hope that they get the recognition that, you know, that they deserve. And I think that the internet is a great time for that. I don't know why I'm thinking about this, but I'm thinking about, like, Teenie from Next Level Chef. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar, but she's, like, a social media chef, was really, really big on TikTok, got onto Next Level Chef, one of Gordon Ramsay's shows, and is now, like, one of, like, the biggest social media chefs on the planet and makes great food, doing all these great things. And that's purely from being, you know, an internet celebrity.
I think that there's a difference between what you're describing, where this is someone who is, like, a self-made internet celebrity, had success, and then took that success online and multiplied that success, versus what I think is substantially more common in, or maybe not substantially more common, but is the other side of the, like, internet celebrity of today, as far as people who are what you could describe either as influencers or people who are literally like paid influencers. And like so much of TikTok and internet fame is people who are literally paid by companies to be tastemakers mm-hmm. and to be famous in a way that has always existed. Also, like companies have always paid celebrities to endorse their products and stuff. The Rock, sure. But like there's a different feeling to what is people who literally they exist in the bubble of if you are on their TikTok, you know who they are mm-hmm. and you are obsessed with them. But if you're not on their TikTok, you literally don't know who they are. And it's a whole I just feel like it's a whole different kind of internet celebrity that is distinct from any other way to be a celebrity that we've described that has existed before.
Sorry, I was trying to fact check something because when you were talking about hometown and then all this other stuff, it reminded me of when The Rock bought a large share of Salt and Straw Ice Cream Company, which is Portland based. And I want to say that part of the press release was about how like it was a hometown thing. But then I looked it up and like I swear it was like he lived in the greater Portland area for less than a year when he was a teenager or something, but like was still marketing it as like, oh, like, yeah, Portland hometown. What? It's like, you're not from here, though. Like, we don't claim you as a local celebrity.
That's annoying. Very annoying. Oh, The Rock. Go away, buddy. Yeah. Stop.
I might be wrong on that, but I feel like that's what had happened, and I was like, this is baffling.
I believe you. I believe that's something that he would do. It's not out of the realm of possibility at all.
Yeah, just I don't know. It's and I think that that's the thing is that the internet has just it has changed. I think the way that the game is played because you do things like that now, but then people also fact check things like that now. And literally, like from me reading that press release to fact checking, it was like 15 minutes. Like it operates at such an insane pace. And I think that that kind of also like impacts the life cycle of celebrity. And maybe that's part of why people are like, I'm not even going to play the game because like. How quickly do you burn up? You know, like how worth it is it to engage and to do that versus to just like enjoy your paycheck, enjoy making movies, enjoy writing music, do your own thing?
Yeah, well, I think that a lot of people now either have learned like on their own from watching celebrity over the last especially 20, 30 years and just have decided to shut up. Or the companies they work for have demanded them shut up or they will be shut up. Like,
oh, yeah.
I think that, though, like, you know, we don't know anything about Tom Holland's Zendaya. We don't know anything about any MCU actor or any of these big, you know, tentpole actors because they all are under so many NDAs and so many you can't post online mm-hmm. agreements so that they can't, you know, taint their products or whatever that we literally don't know any. Yeah. But like, we don't know anything about any of these people from at least post their time being in whatever these modern mm-hmm. big blockbuster franchises are like. You know, we know that Henry Cavill likes to build computers, but like we don't and paint his miniatures, but we don't know anything about him as like a person necessarily. At least the public at large does not know much about any of these people because of both, like because they're contractually not allowed to talk about anything, but also because I think celebrity in the 90s and 2000s was awful. Like you know, they literally killed Princess Diana. Let's like start there. And then like beyond that, like, you know, look at Britney Spears, look at so many people in the 90s, 2000s that like, because forget about like, you know, the child actor parts of all and child star parts of, you know, Britney Spears. There's also just the fact that being a celebrity, even when she was an adult, was just such a toxic, terrible mm-hmm. culture of being constantly under the spotlight, being constantly hounded by the press, being constantly judged for every single decision you make and thing you do, that like, or that like people who were celebrities during that time who had the opposite experience of being just beloved by everyone no matter what they did, but those people were absolutely just intolerable people.
Yeah.
Like, I've talked at length on this podcast about my disdain for 1990s Tom Hanks. Like, he was not a nice person in any movie he was in because he wasn't a nice person in real life.
I was going to say, what about Toy Story? But he also
he's not a great guy.
He's a jerk in Toy Story.
Well, yeah, Woody actually is a bit of a jerk in the first movie and says some actually rather like not the greatest lines, some pretty not nice things. But like every romantic comedy he's in is just like, how much can I be misogynistic and that's the appeal of me. But beyond, like, obviously there are many examples similarly to him, but it's reflective of also the kind of people that they were in public, and that we continue to see some of them as older men now in public, but that, like, we live fortunately in a time where celebrities look at those examples of people in that category and say, I don't want to be a public person that people don't like because they're a jerk. So if I'm a jerk, I'm just going to be quiet, or I'm just not going to be a jerk.
Yeah.
Or they look at the Britney Spears type example and they say, like, I'm just going to avoid the camera at all cost, or avoid Twitter at all cost, so that nobody can ever, like, so that I don't have to live that awful life that was forced on me because of my celebrity.
Was it Daniel Radcliffe who wore the same outfit every day for like weeks just to ruin paparazzi photos? I think, like, just to make it so it's like all of these pictures are the same. It doesn't matter anymore.
I don't know if I've heard that, but I love that.
Yeah,
I love that for him.
Yeah. The other example is, there was the time where I think it was like Taylor Swift and her friends on a boat. They saw the paparazzi on the shore, so they just started taking their own pictures and posting them on social media. Just like, if you're going to try to like snap us with a long range lens, we're just going to post a close up on our own media and kind of ruin what you have. But it's interesting, because what I'm realizing is that being a celebrity has... So first, being famous is not a choice that you make, but being a celebrity is. And being a celebrity has simultaneously never been more intense or more accessible. As far as like the internet, the AI Willy Wonka experience Oompa Loompa girl is doing like tours and appearances. Like, being a celebrity is so much more within reach than it's ever been, but it's also so much more insane than it's ever been.
Yeah, man, and I think, you know, I think it's just easier just to be Zendaya and Tom, where you know nothing, and all you know about them is their chemistry on screen and like the roles that they do. And I have to imagine, like, that's so much more like fulfilling and freeing, just to like live your life and not worry about this picture I take ending up on some other thing, you know?
Yeah,
it just must be so incredibly stressful. And I think that, like, other celebrities like The Rock could take note from that and just stop being everywhere so much, because you're opening up yourself for people to, like you said, Alex, fact check you, because you can't lie here. For whatever, I'm an MMA fan, and for whatever reason, The Rock's training videos of him for the new movie he's coming out with keep popping up on my feed, and I just stop. I just don't want to see it. I can't get rid of it. I just can't get rid of it. And it's injected.
But Adrian,
itself.
It's a serious movie he's doing, because he's wearing a fake nose and a wig.
Yeah. And he's training very, very hard, wrestling dudes half his size. Like, he can't find anybody in the MMA world to actually be his training partner who is his size.
Wouldn't the right move be to slim down a little bit?
Probably, because he's bigger than the dude that he's playing that was on steroids.
Okay, yeah, definitely should have slimmed down a little bit.
It's nuts, man. It's nuts. And because he posts about it every single day, it somehow makes its way onto my feed, whether someone sharing it to me or someone showing it to me as like a meme, which we didn't even really talk about, like how some of these celebrities
grow into
memes. I think the big one I want to talk about there was Quinta Brunson, literally starting as a Vine meme and is now an Emmy Award winner.
And now has a TV show that's on its...
That's crazy. And I think talks to that kind of accessibility. It's still very, very hard. But man, if you can go from Vine to an Emmy-winning director and actress, like, that's that's crazy. Internet's wild.
Really is.
Oh, you know, the power of the the BuzzFeed generation and the you know, capitalism that destroyed it.
There it is. Yeah. There it is.
But
it's always comes back.
I need to talk about like my experience with Beyonce. I think it really hits on like the celebrity like worship stuff and like how much we care about celebrities in person. I'm a big Beyonce fan. I saw her for my birthday in Houston a few years ago. And I've been in NFL stadiums. I've been in that specific stadium, in a packed stadium. But when Beyonce and Jay-Z came down in their white outfits, like in almost biblically, I've never heard a louder crowd in my entire life. Never, never. In awe with how loud these people were cheering in a not packed stadium for these people, like Jason said, they don't even really know. And what we do know is that they do some shade, or Jay-Z specifically does a lot of shady stuff. But the way that this crowd cheered for them was more than I've heard people cheer for, like, people who do things that are a little bit more important.
Which, man, that goes back to the very start of, you know, the disconnect that famous or the celebrities have from reality. Because if I walked into a stadium and people did that, I'd be like, oh, I need to leave.
Oh, I was shook. This is Alex. Bad. Alex, like, I stood there. And you can ask my wife. I stood there. She was like, you're not going to cheer? And I was like, dude, look around us. This is scary.
This is weird.
Scary how excited people are. Same thing when I saw people like crying at Lana Del Rey, like as if Jesus had touched them as she walked by. It's a level of like celebrity-ness that I love some of the celebrities that I love. I was devastated when Carl Weathers died, having met him in person. I was devastated when Carl Weathers died. But I didn't go and cry in a corner after I, you know, met him. So I think that there's just like a level, I think for me it comes back to like how much effort and energy we give to those things, I think can be super unhealthy if we let it be. But, you know, I think to each their own at the end of the day. But I just thought that was like a very weird experience for me. You know, in a football stadium, outshining any other loudness experience I've ever had, you know, even at a, you know, 100,000 person football stadium.
Yeah, maybe that's just the difference between celebrity and being famous. Like, those are all people that we can't touch them whatsoever for all the reasons we've talked about. They are the ultimate influences upon their industries, upon fashion, upon culture, the way we speak, the things that we talk about. And Zachary Quinto is not a celebrity. He's famous, and we know that he yelled at some waiters in Los Angeles recently. Yep. Like, this is, you know, he's famous. We all know his name. We know his face. We know this thing he's done now. And that's what makes him famous, as opposed to being... He's not creating taste.
Yeah. And he's now banned from it, so... Yeah, I don't know that we really landed on anything, but I really enjoyed that conversation. It was just good to get those thoughts out there and to like see other perspectives on it. I think any final thoughts, or should we wrap it up?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I think just watch how attached you get to your favorite celebrities, because again, like Jason said, you don't know them.
Oh, and
they
man.
Give you something tomorrow to disappoint you, and that's just unneeded stress on you.
We didn't even touch parasocial relationships. You know, for the people who do blast their entire life on social media and then people feel like they know them.
Big in the Twitch, big in like the streaming community for sure.
Yep. Streaming and podcasting are the two places I see it the most. Do you guys have any content that you want to plug or any articles or anything?
I'll be talking about The Acolyte a bunch. You know, I'm sure there'll be some stuff out now and then can expect it to continue through the season. I'll also be at Anime Expo at the end of the month, so look out for that soon.
Cool.
This year's just been a drag. I feel like I'm barely seeing stuff, barely writing stuff, barely playing stuff. Go subscribe to our Patreon and listen to me talk about movies every other week and the stuff that I'm watching. But even just in the last few weeks, it's been mostly about like relatively either obscure or just, you know, long forgotten about older stuff, because there's just not a lot happening in the theater or on streaming. And if it's on streaming, I'm probably complaining about how bad it is.
Fair. Yeah, I think I'm going to recommend. So the movie that I just saw in theaters was Haikyuu, The Dumpster Battle, which if you've been watching Haikyuu or reading it, it's a great adaptation of a single match in this 400 issue volleyball manga, but it's very well done. I really enjoyed it. And then also I've been playing Chance of Sennar, which is a puzzle video game centered on translating kind of like primitive symbology. It's literally just you're trying to figure out what all the signs say to solve puzzles. But it's really, really fun. Definitely recommend checking it out. But beyond that, there's also But Why Though. And if you guys want more About Why Though, where to get it. So we're basically everywhere. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on YouTube. We're on Twitch. We have a Discord. We have a Patreon if you want to kick us a few bucks and help us keep the podcast moving. And also, if you just want to, like, you know, give us a review on wherever you get your podcast, that goes a long way to getting us in front of new ears or inside of new ears. I don't know how you say that. But yeah, definitely just like reach out to us. Check it out. We'd love to hear from you. Love to talk to you. And you can find me specifically on Twitter at @mostalwaysalex. Adrian, where can people find you?
Yeah, but you can find me mostly on Instagram and TikTok these days at @superreese93.
All right, and Jason?
I am flatter_u on the socials, flatter_you.
All right, thank you guys so much for joining me, and thank you at home for listening. We'll see you next time.